All right, welcome everyone to the GGG podcast, episode 25. We have made it to episode 25. Let's go. Got a good show for you this week. Lots of good releases, a steady stream of news, and some Star Wars Battlefront to talk in our main topic. But before we get into that, I am over here joined by Phil, who always joins me. Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I am living and giving no craps. That's wow. What I...
All right.
I couldn't finish the rhyme properly. but, you know, been a pretty cool week this week. I feel like we have a lot of big releases.
Yeah.
Additionally, there was, you know, we're going to talk Star Wars a little bit later. The Star Wars Acolyte, like, trailer dropped, which I know we're not the type of podcast that talks Star Wars or TV. But I like that there's new Star Wars.
Yeah. And, you know, they got out of the current era. So that's mm-hmm. always good. Good to see some more Jedi in Star Wars.
Weird.
It's been a pet peeve of mine. So anyway, yeah, very exciting. I feel like there's quite a bit of Star Wars stuff in the news right now. So that's very interesting. So yeah, what have you been getting up to? Any new games entered your gaming?
My life recently?
Yes.
Well, there's this one game.
Oh my goodness!
You know, we've been talking for a little while, and it's just getting better. It's Helldivers 2. Helldivers 2 is just getting better and better. They added a new battle pass.
Yeah.
It's weird that I'm not upset about it. I was just like, yeah, no, I want all that stuff, so I will give you $10.
Yeah.
And, you know, the stuff that they're, like, just sort of slowly dropping and trickling out in that game, like, they are giving us what would be, like, a year's worth of content from another game in the first, like, 2 months, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah.
I played a little bit more of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which has been a great game. I just haven't had, like, I haven't made the time, and my brain is just, it's really hard for me to, like, sit and play a game for a long time anymore.
Sure.
So that's been the two things I've been kind of doing. Unless it's multiplayer and I'm like chatting with buds, it's hard to just sit here quietly and like look at my screen and be like, yeah, ride that bird. But
ride that bird.
What have you been up to? Are you still sailing the high seas?
Definitely had a fall off of interest this week in Skull and Bones. I did play it a little bit and still having fun with it. But I'm kind of getting to the late game ish, kind of, sort of. And it's gotten to the point where I'm like, this would be easier with friends. And I'm kind of getting the sense that was the intention. And honestly, the in-game chat on PlayStation, I cannot figure it out. You can open the chat box and I can't type anything in it. I have no idea. I've pressed every button. I've tried to look it up, you know, in the options. I can't talk to anybody or like try to get anybody to join my party. So it's been a little frustrating there. But you know, still a decent game. Happy it's on sale this week at a more reasonable price, and we'll get into the game sales that are going on right now. Still been playing lots of Helldivers, loving the world, loving what they're doing with it as a game as a service. You know, where they're really engaging the community, and then they're actually, you know, actively updating the game on a week to week basis. And are all the changes, you know, groundbreaking? No, but like they're continuing to work on the game. It's like it's incredible. Like
it's weird. They're like kind of hinting and teasing at like different things and then paying those off mm-hmm. with relative frequency.
Yeah.
And this has all been within the first month of it launching. It feels crazy. I mean, I don't know if this is like a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing 'cause it's executed well. But if another company did it and was like, hey, yeah, we released the game without all the features and we're slowly going to dole them out to you, it would feel a little bit bad. But because Helldivers was like, hey, we're a complete game, well, here's a little something extra we worked on. You know?
Exactly. And like they still held back features, but it did feel like a complete game when it launched. So like, yeah, that's great. I love that the community is still going strong, and I'm loving it. So it's, again, same thing as last week. It's all my friends are playing. If I'm playing with my friends, I'm on Helldivers. So the only other game I will bring up that I did play, and I might actually my stream after we record this is I checked out the Finals Season 2, which is very good and a little like brain breaking, but very fun. I love the new 5v5 mode, where you fight over, you know, it's like King of the Hill, but it's like a floating platform that like plows through buildings. It's really fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I would encourage people, if you liked season one of the Finals, go back, check out season two. There's definitely content there. So as far as like competitive games right now, it's probably still my favorite competitive game at the moment.
Yeah, so it's a very good one.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, so we are rejoicing in the great games that we have, but holy smokes, this week there are several heavy hitters on their way in.
Mm-hmm. What's the first heavy hitter, Phil?
Well, the first heavy hitter is Rise of Ronin, which I have kind of like slept on this game, I feel like. Although it does seem ostensibly like everything I would kind of want, I hear it is sort of like Assassin's Creed meets, it was one of the other FromSoft games, Sekiro.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's got that samurai combat, like very parry heavy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of like sort of running and jumping around like different areas. You have a glider. It seems like everyone is getting to Assassin's Creed Japan before Ubisoft is, and that makes my heart happy, but also...
they had an ample amount of time to figure it out, and they didn't do it. And they didn't do it. And now
they had a big runway, and they're like, Egypt!
Yeah, it's gonna come out way too late after the trend is... It kind of reminds me of... Because I know they're working on a Feudal Japan Assassin's Creed. I know that that's in production. So... It reminds me of Valhalla, like after all of like the I feel like there was a Viking trend that was going on a few years back, like with God of War, and like there were, you know, TV shows, and everybody's getting into Norse mythology all of a sudden, and then they were way too late to the party.
I've heard like the early reviews coming off of Rise of Ronin are pretty good, so you know it looks interesting. Another dang good game to drop money on.
I think it looks really good. You know, the combat is a little stylized. I can't help but compare it to Ghost of Tsushima because it's a samurai game. But yeah, and Ghost of Tsushima just holds a special place in my heart. Not that it's the most realistic game, but I just love the combat in that game so much. I think it's a tremendous combat system. So I'm definitely curious about Rise of the Ronin, and I'm all for more samurai games. I am watching Shogun on Hulu right now, and it is very good, and it's definitely putting me in the mood. So
this might be perfect timing for them.
That's excellent. Yes.
Next on the list is a game that I am going to play extensively. Dragon's Dogma 2 is arriving this, Thursday night / Friday morning. That is a RPG, single-player RPG, with a kind of like multiplayer Dark Souls-y twist on how you interact with other players. But it's basically kind of common fantasy stuff. It's swords and daggers and bows and magic. The reason I liked the first game so much is it had this really like hectic combat, like Devil May Cry style, like where you had to kind of learn button combinations to do specific attacks. You were getting better at using your weapons as you got them. And not like just by leveling up, by learning these mechanics. And then you could also climb your enemies. So like they're, let's say you're fighting a Cyclops, you could climb up to him and stab him in the eye and weaken him.
Yeah.
So a lot of great things in that game. Very excited for it. Have you ever played any of the Dragon's Dogma games?
I have not. I've watched a lot of content on Dragon's Dogma 2, though. And I honestly, it looks really good. It kind of came out of nowhere for me, just because I'm unfamiliar. But it reminded me a lot of kind of like a few. I mean, it looks at a glance, it looks a little Dark Souls-y, but that's not what the game is. It to me, the gameplay and the mission structure kind of reminds me of The Witcher 3, with some Monster Hunter like thrown in, where you can, you know, climb your enemies and stuff like that. And that I don't really know too much about, like the party system and that kind of stuff, but definitely really interesting. Gameplay looks really fun. Obviously, everybody's been having a blast with the character creator online. Mm. So, yeah.
The party system is kind of the multiplayer stuff, because you create a pawn, which is like your sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
I think pawns are just like people without souls. I don't exactly know the rules, but like,
okay.
they talk to you. They're like just meant to be your sidekick. And then you can go online and like put your pawn on this little like service that other people can borrow them at their level to like fight. So they get a copy of your pawn in their world. And they do interesting things like, oh, I fought this beast before, I know how to kill it. And like, they'll tell you while you're fighting, or be like, oh, I did this mission before, or I've heard about this mission, I think there's a treasure chest over here.
Okay. So like,
yeah, it's got that Dark Souls sort of like, oh, there's a message on the ground, but it is your pawn, or someone else's pawn telling you how that mission goes. So
Pretty
cool. Excited about it. Yeah.
I also saw in the, I believe it was IGN's like final impressions video, that like you can switch between any of the classes in the game, like just by going to a vendor. And it's like, that's really cool. Cause a big thing with, you know, large RPGs, and like, I always have like, I'm creating a new character syndrome.
Yeah.
It's like that ability, and Baldur's Gate did this too, but that ability, like, change your class and try something else if you have a change of heart, without being like, well, I gotta start all the way back at zero. And especially with Dragon's Dogma, because it's very obviously like a game that has the potential to be over 100 hours of gameplay. So it's a big time investment.
Yeah, we could talk about it more next week, because that's once it comes out, I'm gonna play the absolute feed off of it. So we can move ahead, because I know we got more show to get to.
Yeah. All right. Well, now the biggest release of all time, Call of Duty Warzone Mobile, has come out this week.
I know you're joking when you say that.
It's a half joke. It's a half joke.
So many people will download that game.
Yeah.
It will probably be played for more hours than I don't even know.
Honestly, like something that has aged me quite a bit is like seeing kids play games on their phone with the touchscreen controls, which is just not something like I can play the basics of it, but I'd much rather just play with a mouse and keyboard or play with a controller. And like how precise you know, the younger
touch controls be.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
How precise can those touch controls even be?
Yeah, you would think.
Kids are doing it.
But like, yeah, kids are doing it. And I think like this game coming out kind of proves like Call of Duty Warzone is an incredibly competitive game. And to me, when I think I'm going to play a competitive game, like I want to play it on my computer. I want to play it with my setup so I can be, you know, optimal. And, you know, a lot of people don't need that, I guess. And so I'm very interested to see how this does. I think you were talking about before we started recording, just like the game looks really good graphically. It's on a lot of mobile platforms. So I'm curious to see how this does. I'm sure it's going to be a big moneymaker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Microsoft going to start raking in some of that Activision money. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
For them. They need it.
It
does look really, really like impressive for a mobile game. So much so that I'm like watching the trailer and I was like, I doubt it. But, you know, phones are crazy advanced. Like, we're running, Resident Evil 4 can run on an iPhone now?
Yeah.
Like, the new one?
Yeah.
So,
So yeah.
What do we got? What do we got next there, Paul?
All right. Outcast, A New Beginning also came out. I believe this we're a couple days late on this, but we didn't talk about it last episode, so I wanted to bring it up. This game has, I wasn't really familiar with it. It is a sequel to a previous Outcast game, and it's kind of gaining a little bit of a cult following. It's very, it kind of reminds me of like a Mass Effect Andromeda meets the Avatar game that you played around Christmas. Like that's what it kind of feels like to me. The gameplay looks really fun, and I think that's kind of what the community is latching on to. I will say I cannot stand the voice acting in the game. It's pretty rough to listen to. So like, and we talked about Final Fantasy last week, and I would say the voice acting in Final Fantasy is far ahead of this game. So I think it's kind of saying something. Not to
better than a translation from Japanese, or not worse than a,
yeah. So but you know, kind of like my attitude with Skull and Bones, it can be very rough around the edges, but there's something there that people are grabbing onto, and I think it's really the gameplay. But if you're playing Outcast, A New Beginning, and you want to tell us that it's a great game, please comment below and like and subscribe, because I didn't say that at the beginning.
You coward, tell us about the game that you like so we can mock you. No, we won't. I actually love that this game exists, because it's there's a couple of games that are like this that are kind of not mid-tier but like double A instead of triple A games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That are like, I'm trying to think of another. There was one that was like a Dark Souls, like where you were like in a futuristic city and you were fighting robots with like pipes and saws and stuff. But it was like released, it was still very impressive, but it wasn't like a giant triple A thing. I guess you could even say Lies of P sort of lives in this space.
Okay.
It's like not a huge developer that's spending thousands or millions of dollars on advertising. But yeah, I like the fact that more of these like games that are coming out that don't have an entire ad budget, like that could buy a state, are happening. So
yeah. Yeah. Right on. We'll keep it coming. You know, I feel like so many games are releasing all the time now. It's crazy. And not, you know, I feel like some of the more traditional AAA studios have been kind of not really performing well. So
true. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. Like, we need more companies in here. Drive the competition, make better games. Let's go.
More jobs, more people. Let's do it.
More jobs. All right. So let's get into the news. And the first news topic that we're going through today is we want to tell you guys about the sales that are going on. So there is a wide variety of spring sales across multiple platforms, multiple online stores. The Steam spring sale has launched. The Epic sale has launched. There's a sale on EA, the EA store. Not that anyone uses that, but there's also sales on the Ubisoft store. Not that anybody uses that. But if you do, you know, and on PSN. But to be fair, I feel like there's always a sale on PSN of some kind nowadays.
There's literally never not a sale on PSN. It's nuts. Ridiculous. Yeah.
So a lot of sales right now. The Steam sale is going to be ending March 21st at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's quite soon. I'm going to try and get this podcast out there as quickly as possible. So if you didn't know the Steam sale was going on, maybe you found out because of us. You can buy some games that you enjoy, but I don't know. I feel like I look at these sales and largely I'm always like, I have most of the things that I want. Anything interesting on any of these sales for you, Phil, that you're thinking about picking up?
There's a couple things. One, I think there's DLC for Remnant 2. That's just like a little bit off. I'm like, that's probably enough for me to get it. I will say that one of my friends texted me today. We play a lot of games together, a lot of Fortnite specifically. and he actually, it was Joe from the podcast in the past.
Oh,
he
bought
Suicide Squad because he found it on sale.
Right on.
And let me just get the play-by-play of what he just texted me. I'm enjoying the game's characters, but the gameplay is a little bit lacking. And he, I believe he's probably been playing it for an hour, so that tells you.
Yeah.
That said, Suicide Squad is a game I wanted to play with my friends. Like, that seems like the most fun would be, like, in a group of four messing around, so.
Yeah.
For $40?
Yeah, maybe. Sorry. No, I was just like, I was thinking, because like I've seen so many of the cutscenes of that game online, and all the cutscenes look really good, and I'm like, oh, this is maybe an interesting DC story. But like, I think it probably should have just been that. It should have just been a single player, you know, game, or like, you know, it's a cooperative game where your friends could join in, but get rid of all this grindy games as a service loot, you know, looter shooter thing that they forced into it. I don't know.
A lot of rigmarole into that game.
But
for $40, if you want to like try that game, I feel like that's closer to the price that you would feel decent about. There was something else on here that I was... Oh, Dark Tide's down to $25.
It's a good pickup.
Great game for the value. Yeah. You know what it is? Shadow of War. I think like the complete version of Shadow of War is like $7.
Wow. Goodness.
What a good game.
Yes.
With like these interesting, like great combat. It's got Arkham combat mixed with the Nemesis engine that we've never seen in a game since. But was so well done and so fun, and made these emergent like situations where you would meet someone, kill them, they'd come back with their head sewn on, and they'd be like, "Hey, you cut my head off. Now I'm gonna get you," or whatever. You know, I'm not J.R.R. Tolkien.
I didn't know he did voices. Yeah, a fantastic game. Very Arkham. Very Assassin's Creed, and love the Nemesis system. Bring it back for more games. So check out those deals. There's a lot of stuff on sale, so we're not going to go through all of them. But just so you're aware, it is sale season. Did you have something else to add, Phil?
One more on Epic. I see that Sea of Thieves is $40 now.
Oh, okay. I believe I saw it on Steam for less than that.
Is it less on Steam?
I think so. I think I saw it for like $25 on Steam.
Oh my gosh. That's a deal.
I could be misremembering that.
I'm sorry. I'm not thinking of Sea of Thieves. I'm thinking, what's the game, the pirate game?
That I've been playing?
That you've been playing.
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones.
Is $40.
It's $40.
Okay. Which is the appropriate price, similar to Suicide Squad, what it should have launched at.
Yeah. Okay. So, there we go.
Okay.
Too many pirate games for me, I guess.
Yep. All right. So let's press on through the news. So we got a little bit of a leak from PlayStation as far as their deals, as far as details concerning the PlayStation 5 Pro. So there are lots of rumors that are saying that the PlayStation 5 Pro is going to be coming out this holiday season in 2024. So very, I guess, exciting. I don't really know. I'm not too excited about this. They have released some specs and they are better than the current PlayStation 5 specs, but not enough to a degree, at least that I can tell, where it's like, well, are we going to be playing games in like 8K? Like, what is the difference? You know, I feel like the PlayStation 4 Pro's justification was the upgrade to 4K. And so it's, I mean, you know, when people say 4K, there are different levels of 4K that nobody likes talking about because 4K is such a selling point. So maybe it's like, it's nicer 4K, which is probably what it's going to be. That being said, I believe the PS4 Pro came out 3 years after the PlayStation 4 came out. And so now we're on the fourth year of the PS5. There's probably some truth there. Something also important to note is that I believe it's going to be sold without a disk drive. But if you want a disk drive, you can buy one separately and attach it to your PlayStation 5 Pro, which is kind of an interesting approach. It kind of reminds me of like a Nintendo approach almost, where mm-hmm. it's like, we'll sell you an accessory for it. So
hey, get your Rumble Pack. Let's go, kids.
Yeah.
I like that honestly, because it gives you the option like, hey, we're not gonna have one that's just got no disk drive. They all have that, and then you can go up if you want.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense. Also pushes people towards digital, which I think can kind of be a good thing. I have felt the pull towards physical media, having a PS5 that's only digital.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that... Who is this for, is my question. What do you want your PlayStation 5 to do that it's not doing? That's what I want, though.
Like, I was trying to... I was thinking about this last night when I first saw this news, and I was like, would I buy a PlayStation 5 Pro? And I was thinking about it. I was like, well, I have a PlayStation 5 in the living room, so I guess if I bought a Pro, I could put one in the bedroom. Like, that was my thinking. Like, but yeah, I guess I need Sony to sell me on it a bit more. Like, I need them to have a presentation or just do like a video of being like, these are what the differences are going to be, because, you know, the PlayStation 5 already has not been, and not just it, but the Xbox Series X, even PC games, there hasn't been this jump in graphics that we've seen in other generations. And so this half step of another console, like, what is it? It's not going to load faster. The loading is fast enough on a regular PS5. So it's literally just going to be, oh, you know, it's well, we were running the game on a lower 4K. Now it's a mid-tier 4K. And it's like, if you don't have a TV that is, you're really going to be able to tell that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's for the rich kids, I guess.
just make a console that can give me ray tracing and 4K and 60 frames a second on all my games. PlayStation will be fine. But okay. No, you can't do that, I guess. Perhaps. Yeah, no, very, very interesting. I'm excited to see more, because like you said very succinctly, they got to sell us on it.
Yeah, I'm not in so far. So I think also they need to release it at the same price that the PS5 launched at, which is like, it's PS5 Pro, it's $500. And, you know, the PS5 regular moves down. Mm-hmm. So, which I believe I'm starting to already see. I think I saw like a Spider-Man bundle PS5 because they have Slims now. Mm-hmm. Or if it hasn't launched yet, it's like for $400, something like that.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Well, moving right along, we got more to cover. So there have been some rumors floating around when it comes to the PAL World developers, because of their huge success, especially with their success tied to Game Pass, that Microsoft has been interested in acquiring them. The CEO of the development company who makes PAL World came out and he was like, we haven't had any discussions to be acquired by Microsoft or any company, and that the sheer amount of money that we've made from PAL World, we have been unable to process it because we're a small company, and that they don't have any interest now or in the future of making big games that would be demanded of them of a larger publisher, and that they're more interested in making smaller games and a different variety of games and one-offs. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but Like, also, that's the perfect thing to say when you're in a buyout negotiation. So,
like, that's also the perfect thing to say when your company is like making too much money for you to know what to do with.
Yeah, which it's we don't need to be bought. We just made all this money.
So we made good new Pokemon. What do you think is gonna happen? It's really interesting. I made a joke earlier about them having too much money they don't know what to do with, but I think their sales, I think they said they're less than 100-person team, and like the amount of money that they've made is almost crippling for them, because it's just like there's all this weight and responsibility, and even the taxes involved in it are just massive.
They probably don't have enough accountants for this.
Yes. Yeah.
So I believe they are a 55-person team. So, which is relatively small for nowadays, at least.
Surprisingly. Speaking of Microsoft and their acquisitions, I think we can finally say that the Activision acquisition, that's tough, is starting to pay off, because Diablo 4 is coming to consoles and PC on Game Pass on March 28th, you know?
Oh boy.
Hey, that's a great deal for everyone who didn't buy it already.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah. Like $10 a month. I feel like that's, then you could go in and play games and buy like aesthetic stuff. You could buy the different things that the game has to sell you, because like, oh, I just got this game for free on my $10 service. I think if there is a path forward for like games as a service type things, it's stuff like Game Pass.
I think it'll help keep Diablo alive a little bit longer. It's definitely been trailing off in interest, and you can see it as it's on pretty much all of the sales that we mentioned earlier in the podcast. I think if you haven't played Diablo 4 yet, playing it on Game Pass is a perfect opportunity to do that, and paying the $10 to get involved, for a season is fun. It's just, I don't know, it's just such an easy game to get burned out by, that it just doesn't have that repetitive replayability, I guess, like a Helldivers does. Where it has that, again, like we've talked about, it's got that fun factor. Diablo, I feel like when you're playing it, is that dopamine rush of I am destroying monsters so freaking fast in such a cool way. And then when you get to a high enough level where you stop killing monsters quickly and you're just swinging at monsters or launching fireballs at monsters or however, whatever class you're playing, and now the health bar is going like this.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who are listening to the audio only version, I'm slowly moving my finger across the screen. where it just becomes such a grind, and I believe that there's something fundamentally wrong with the end game of Diablo. And until they fix that, there's too much competition out there. There's too much other attention grabbers out there, So,
but there's in the interim time of like Diablo 1, 2, 3, and 4, there have been a lot of companies that are like, how do we do that but different? And like, how do we make improvements? And so many people have now, that we're stuck with Diablo just kind of being like, hey, do you guys remember us? And we're like, yeah, we do, but we've also been playing these other games that are do that but better.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Additionally coming to is Ark Survival Ascended, which is like the Ark remake in Unreal 5. And I think that's a great way to enter. That's probably when I will play Ark Survival Ascended when that comes to Game Pass. Because a beautiful game, like in a beautiful place, and dinosaurs, you got me, especially for free.
Yeah.
When they relaunched it at $50 or $60, no, but this is the right place.
Yep. Always try it on Game Pass first. So, all right. Let's press on. So we got some news coming out about the PSVR 2. Phil, you were reading up on this. What's going on?
So Sony's not making any more PSVR 2 units, or they're not producing anymore. until they sell through their back stock. Apparently, they've got a lot.
Ooh, okay. Well, I mean, that would explain why we haven't seen any news for the PSVR 2, and it hasn't been selling at all. Do you know how much they're charged for? Is it like a $200 VR pack, or?
I think it's 300? I think it's like 600 bucks.
Oh my god!
No, I think it might be like 500. Hold on, I'm gonna look this up right now.
All
right,
look it up.
PSVR 2 price.
But yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they wouldn't be making any more. I feel like there's a bit. VR is still relatively strong, but the hype of VR, I feel like, is falling off a little bit. Like, we definitely got in the news like the Apple Vision Pro, and I know that the Meta 3 has come out, and it's getting better, but I feel like there haven't been like these big AAA games that are like, there hasn't been like a Star Wars Squadrons that has come out where it's like, we had VR in mind when we made this game. What'd you find out? Well,
they made that. So it is $399 at GameStop. It's pretty good.
Okay.
They're from Target. Just the core bundle is $549. And I think that seems to be the more regular price, is $550 to $600 if you get a game with it. Sure. So,
okay.
But GameStop, way to go. There was a Star Wars Squadrons game that came out that was like a first person game that they had a VR mode for, that I played on PlayStation VR, like the original one. And it was pretty cool. But if they could do that and like fully get people invested, it's just a high cost to entry.
Yeah, it really is.
So difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very high cost, especially because, like, I know that the Meta 3 is a little bit more expensive, but, like, the Meta 2, it's, like, $200. You don't need all the setup. You don't need to plug it into a computer, and so it's a lot more accessible. So we'll see how this does. I'm kind of wondering if this is another one of those Sony accessories that just kind of fades into the background and we don't hear about anymore, unfortunately.
I think amid, like, you know, the games industry's layoffs, things like that, we're probably, this is going to get cut before anything else, because it is like this experiment that games decided to do when things were booming. Additionally, I think there is the Apple of it all that to consider. The new Vision Pro just came out, and I've gotten to try it, and it is by far the best looking VR. Like, I think that is going to make Oculus, PlayStation, everybody, like, look at what they're doing and have to step up their game a considerable degree. Even though the Vision Pro isn't for games.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask, is because, like, the Vision Pro to me is much more AR instead of VR. Are there games available for the Vision Pro?
I'm sure there has to be some games on there.
Sure, but Apple's never been known for, like, we're going to bust out the games. Like, we largely have been incompatible, so, yeah.
I mean, well, they just, like we said earlier, they put the Final Fantasy game, not Final Fantasy, Resident Evil 4.
Right.
And Resident Evil 8 on their phones. I think they're trying to, like, make their swing into it because they realize that it's a very juicy market.
Yes.
I'm sorry I said juicy.
It's all right. There are worse things you could have said.
I want to apologize to the listeners for calling the market juicy, but but that I feel like it kind of bridges the gap between AR and VR. I did the demo. There's an interesting thing where, like, you go into someone has recorded something in panorama, and, like, you're just at this mountain, and you really feel like you're there. The audio is great. Visually, there's no screen dooring. And then I looked down at my hands, and they looked like my hands, but, like, they were the camera's reading of my hands, so they were just, like, a slightly different color.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super alarming, but also, like, wow, this is something I've never seen. Like, my full, like, articulation is there. And in VR, you always see, like, a weird, like, 3D image of a hand that's nondescript and kind of, like, you can see through.
Well, I mean, I will say, if you're using one of the fancy VR head, like the Valve Index or whatever, you got the individual finger function on. But yeah, it's not the same. I get what you're saying. So
it I think we're heading towards like a revolution that sadly won't be spurred. What got started by games, but it won't be like, it's gonna rebound back, and we'll get some cool stuff in like 5 years. But I think the Sony PSVR 2 is just,
yeah,
done.
Especially like we talked about, you know, the London studio being shut down, and they primarily worked on VR games. So yeah, writing's on the wall. All right, back to Microsoft. I feel like all of our news topics is like Sony, Microsoft, Microsoft, Sony, Sony, Microsoft.
How are they screwing up this week?
But yeah, Overwatch 2 continues to make changes, which I am you know, feeling positive about, that Microsoft is trying to change Overwatch 2. You know, Overwatch 2 had such a rough launch as far as like the community was concerned. It was very poorly received, and so they've continued to make changes, and the latest changes have to do with the battle pass, and they specifically use the language in general with the game that they want to be more generous with rewards, especially because Overwatch was one of those games that really started loot boxes, and nobody actually holds them accountable for that. So, just saying, we all forget, but that Overwatch started it.
So. We all think Tracer's cute, but yeah. She did destroy part of the industry.
So yeah, you were talking to me about this with the Battle Pass, that they're going to be taking out the new characters. That they're not going to be connected to the Battle Pass, yeah?
Yeah, you're just going to, I think, get new characters as they show up, which okay. I think is a great pull to get people to play the game. Like, you want to get people to come into your ecosystem to spend money, keep them in there by, you know, or bring them back, rather, by like, hey, there's a new character, you want to try this out? Oh, totally. Do you want to try their skin that makes them look like an anime waifu? Absolutely you do. Get in here, you freak.
Great.
That's listen, they yeah. know what they're doing.
They do. But yeah, not really much else to say about that. You know what? Meh.
It's a good thing? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Overwatch 2 surprisingly still has a pretty active player base. So let's hope the game can continue to get better. I know that the random like modes, like the very quirky modes that people put out are very fun. So yeah. Let's move on to the main topic, shall we? So the internet was set ablaze midweek. I guess it was over the weekend, really, because Star Wars Battlefront, the Classic Collection, launched, and it had such a dumpster fire of a launch. Which is, for, like, we talked about this when it was announced, which was not that long ago, and we were like, who is this for? Are you going to buy this? And surprisingly, people bought it. So, to me, the classic Battlefronts are something that kind of lives better in my nostalgia, in my brain, than it does in practice. And this game had a number of issues at launch. Lots of people have already talked about it, so you may have heard about this a little bit, but the game only launched with 3 servers available for people to play on. 3 servers, 64 player matches. So that meant less than 200 people could be online at the same time. And around 10,000 people bought the game. So let that sink in a little bit. If you thought the Helldivers servers were bad at launch, woo-hoo-wee!
Jeez. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, the aiming, the hitboxes weren't working. Lots of problems where you could just be shooting somebody, it just doesn't work. Lots of glitches from the original games were still present. There's also been a huge controversy with that the company has been took mods that people put out for the game and took their mods and put them in the game without paying them or compensating them or coming to any sort of legal agreement whatsoever. And so it's been, as I said, a dumpster fire of a launch.
I'm kind of like piecing my way through the different Steam reviews, of which there are 5,621, overwhelmingly negative. But Wendath, who's at the top of the reviews, says it best. Asper somehow managed to release an unfinished version of a finished game.
Oh, that's fine.
I've seen some of the issues, and it just seems like, you know, I don't know making games. I know it's not easy. That's the little bit I do know. But it seems like this is the type of thing that you should have worked on and, like, QA'd and be like, okay, well, are the ground textures a blurry rainbow mess, or are they the ground textures from the game?
Right.
No? And then the server capacity thing. Like, we just saw it happen with Helldivers. And to be granted, Helldivers, Arrowhead, they did a decent job, like, dealing with it, communicating to the rest of us. But server capacity of 200 for 10,000 people who bought the game is bananas.
Yeah. That it's really bad, and it's not... It's also just they just didn't add anything to the game, and they're charging what I think it's listed at like $35 right now. There has been, I will say, there has been an update that fixes a lot of bug issues that is, I think it was released right before we started recording. So, you know, that should help with like some of the hitbox issues, stuff like that. But like $35 for two games that are very old. And I love those games. I bought both of those games when they came out as a kid, and it was awesome. But, you know, like I've seen some breakdowns on YouTube that are going around of like, oh, well, the Classic Collection has these high resolution backgrounds and all of this stuff. And when you actually look at it, they're not high resolution backgrounds. They're just a higher resolution than the Xbox and the PS2 versions of the game launched at. If you own Star Wars Battlefront and Star Wars Battlefront 2, the old games, on Steam, like I do, like it's the same resolution. And and so it's like, what did you guys actually work on? If you didn't up the resolution, if you broke the gameplay and the maps, and then you stole mods from people who worked on them, what exactly did you do other than repackage it, you know, and put it in one main menu? Like, oh my god. Ugh. It's, very disgusted by this.
This feels like some sort of bit, because it's $35 in one set to buy the game. And then I think the install size is like absolutely massive. That's
it's ridiculous. I think it's like 60 gigabytes install or something. And like the original two games are like, they're old games. They're like 3 gigabytes, 4 gigabytes, something like that. It's like, how did you put these two together? And then all of a sudden it's 50, 60 gigabytes. How did that even happen? This is a game I should be able to download on my phone. Like,
yeah.
What are we talking about? Oh my God.
Yeah, I think it's like it's the play for nostalgia, right? That's exactly why someone released it. But it's just so it makes me skeptical. It's cynical is the term that I'm looking for. It's like the cynical game releases are like, we don't need to make it good. It's just some nerds who want it. Like, whatever. Whoever produced this thing just kind of pumped it out and let it die. I'm sure the people who worked on it cared at least a little bit, but whoever was managing the team there did not care enough to make sure the game worked before they sold it to people and made their $35 and one penny.
Yeah, but it's also, it like, look, we've been on the remaster, revamp train for a long time now. And like there have been a lot of offenders of that. I would say, honestly, like I don't call out Sony a lot for things, but it's something Sony does way too much where it's a remaster of this thing, and every time there's a new remaster, there's less and less features that they're adding. And this is like the epitome of like, we didn't actually do anything, we're just repackaging it. And I'm sure that there are employees at that company who cared about the quality of the game, and I'm sure that there's people in that company who work in quality assurance who were like talking about these issues. But whoever gave the A-OK to launch this, no. Yeah. like this,
what was the move? What was the thought here?
Yeah, and also like $35? No, not $35. Okay.
20. 20 maybe,
like $10 per game. Like that, mm-hmm. that is the price. You can't. Helldivers is $40. Helldivers mm-hmm. is $40. You're going to charge $35 for a game like that came out. When did the Battlefront games come out? Like, this is getting me.
About 20 years ago. I think the first one.
Yeah, like, 20 years ago. Like, what are we talking about? So, I don't really know what to say. It's a shame. Like, let this be a lesson for other companies out there that if you are going to redo a game. Also, they already did redo the Battlefront games. They mm-hmm. came out. They made new Battlefront games. So and the community crapped on them. And so mm-hmm. what were you expecting with this? I don't really know what to say.
Star Wars fans are a prickly bunch, first of all. Yes. But they will, you know, they'll unite around something when they're children and it comes out. Other than that, it's like nostalgia doesn't work for Star Wars. Everybody looks back at the Ewoks and goes, they were stupid. But I think it's just a difficult thing that they try to do. Like Battlefront 2, the most recent one, I feel like is in a pretty cool place. I think a lot of people play it. A lot of people seem to really enjoy it. Unless you're coming with something new for these games, don't do a remaster. I think in general, don't do, like in the age of Steam where I could go buy the original version of the game.
Right.
Don't do a remaster unless you are actually like remaking it. Says Resident Evil 4 remake, great. Resident Evil 2 remake, excellent. Like fully remake the game, then we're on board.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to like up-res it, no.
And they didn't even up-res it.
Yeah.
It's like... it's not good enough. It's not good enough. I'm going to look up how much the new Star Wars Battlefront is on Steam. Mm-hmm. Okay. The new Star Wars Battlefront.
This is the one that works.
The one that works. Okay. And this is mm-hmm. the Celebration Edition, which, like, again, the game had a very rough launch. It was very contaminated with loot boxes, and so it was not well received. But I will still advocate that Star Wars Battlefront 2, the newest one, is in a very good place. So the Celebration Edition, it has a lot of content in it. Okay, that is selling on Steam right now for less than $5. And they are trying to sell a remaster for $35. Of a, like, that is so crazy. That is so crazy to me. I should throw this in, bringing up the newer Battlefront, is that the newer Battlefront, because of the older launch, the newer Battlefront servers have had a bit of a resurgence, so that there's people that are playing the newer one again. So that's,
you know, I do love that, like, I feel like I noticed that more people have been playing Fallout lately, especially like within friends of mine that I know. Like I play Magic the Gathering. a lot of people are doing that because a Fallout set just came out. The trailer for the Fallout show has been dropping like little bits here and
there.
Looks
pretty good, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
Like I'm not a big Fallout guy, but I was like, oh, this could work. Like, so.
I think that's going to be pretty good, and I think that will get a resurgence for Fallout. Does Bethesda deserve it? That's another conversation. But, you know, for another... You know, we should do a Fallout, like, retrospective and just talk about it when the show's out. Because
perhaps,
that's
yeah.
gaming content.
Yeah, right? It is. Right? I will say, like, you know, Bethesda games are so talky that it's like a Bethesda game as a TV show that makes sense, because so much of the game is just having conversations that it's like you can do that in a TV show. It's like, why are people mad at the Halo TV series? Well, there's a laundry list, but largely it's because it's a TV show and the writers have to write something where it's like, well, we need two people talking in a room because that's the budget that we have for episode 4 in season 2. And so not everything could be an action sequence because we have to make a bunch of other episodes and we don't have the money for it. So,
although I've heard season 2 of the Halo show kind of slaps. Like, I've heard it's kind of a complete turnaround for them. I haven't watched it, so I'm not.
Saying slaps and the Halo show together, I don't know if you can do that.
I mean, hey, listen.
Hey, so
maybe
I will embarrass myself on the podcast because I am caught up on the Halo TV show. I have watched the most recent episode.
Okay.
Yes. And I can tell you that
doesn't slap.
It's not, I would say it's better than the first season, but for people whose problem with it is Master Chief's not wearing his helmet, you are not going to be happy. Because they literally make it a plot point, minor, very minor, spoiler alert, I will say no details, but they make it a plot point that Master Chief loses his armor. So for the majority of the season, he does not have his armor at all. And which is, like, again, like, I am not as offended as, like, the hardcore Halo fan that he took his helmet off. But if that bothered you, you're not going to like season two. So.
Yeah, that's, you know, we have to talk about the Halo we should talk about just film or adaptations of games.
I think that would be that'd be a great side pod or a main topic.
But we're living in a time where, like, it's good to be a gamer. Like, it's maybe a bit overwhelming, but all the loot boxes and battle passes.
Yeah, we just gotta sort through it all. We just gotta, you know, get through all of the crap.
Pull out those hidden gems among the rough.
Exactly, and that's exactly what we do in this podcast. And we just get to it and we call out bad releases like Battlefront Classic Collection out. We call them
and
out.
Call out. Good releases like Call of Duty Warzone on mobile.
Yeah!
If you're not playing this game, use my creator code and get a golden gun that looks like a ding-dong. I don't know.
Hey, man. Hey, COD, if you're listening, we would love a creator code for a golden gun. It would go very on theme with our podcast. Thank you very much.
It's glazed.
All right. Well, I don't think we have anything else to say about a crappy Star Wars re-release. Unless you have anything to add, Phil.
I don't have a fart queued up, so
maybe we can add it in post. We'll see.
Okay. Cool.
We'll see. I'll have a recording session later. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for us. We're coming up on an hour. So thank you for joining us on the GGG podcast, episode 25. Let's go. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe. If you don't want to do that, well, thank you for listening to the end of the episode. At the very least, thank you for doing that. So we got a couple more subscribers this month, so I'm very excited about that. Still want to push that number up.
For those of you who did listen, thank you. For those of you who subscribed, thank you. And a little kiss.
A little kiss.
For you.
Yes, just a little soul. I don't know. Like,
there's some good juju out there for you. You know what I mean?
I couldn't find the imagery in my head. All right, that's going to do it for us. Peace out, Phil. I will see you next week.
Peace.